Amen. Everybody doing good? Amen. If you need a Bible, you can ask the ushers. They'll get you a Bible. Or you can just pull it up on your phone or look on the screen. Don't take nobody word for it. If you sitting up calling yourself taking people word for it, you live in dangerous. I'm going to tell you that right now. And I don't care what they do. I don't care if they're on TV. I don't care how many books they wrote. I ain't starstruck. And one thing life has taught me, Minister Lena, I don't trust nobody without a reason. I don't trust nobody without a reason. Because that's just the day we live in. And what's the two most dangerous gifts in the body of Christ? The teacher and the prophetic. That's not me. The Bible said that. The two most dangerous gifts in the Bible, in the body of Christ, is the teacher and the prophetic. Tell somebody to say, check everybody out. If they don't give you a reason to trust them, don't trust them. Psalms 32, verse number 8. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. He says, I'll counsel you with my loving eyes on you. So God not only shows us the way, he watches over you as you walk that way. Isn't that good news? He not only shows us the way, he watches over you as you're walking that way. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I ask for utterance, I ask for the anointing. I ask for you to do what only you can do, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have your seat. We're going to be talking about trusting in the forward leading God. Trusting in the forward leading God. Proverbs 3:5. Everybody talks about and quotes this scripture. He says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. What should you do? I'm going to read a different version, NIV. In all your ways, submit to him. If you ain't submitted to God, you don't trust God. That's as plain as it could be. If you're not submitted to God, you're not trusting God. And even as a believer, can you do your own thing? Will he let you? Yes. You're not a puppet. You have the Spirit of God if you're born again, but you're not some puppet. You can literally, you can live out your days any way you want to live them out. And God will let you. It ain't going to be beneficial for you. Your way not going to be prosperous. But he'll let you live out your life any way you want to. So when he's talking about in Corinthians that he bought us with a price, that you're not your own, he still won't make you. You have to submit your life unto him. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. Meaning, and it's got to be pleasing. So partial ain't going to get it done. You got to be all in. If you're not going to be all in, you could almost go back to the world and you'd have a better chance of getting on God's straight path. Because he's going to use the devil to drive you back to him. But if you're going through the motions, technically you can be in a place where he ain't even fooling with you. I'm going to teach these telemarketers by calling me in church. I'm going to preach to him. Go to Isaiah 30. Because God got a plan for everybody's life in here. He's trying to get some of us to trust him. And you trust God? Yeah, I trust God. What has he told you to do? Are you doing it? I'm praying about it. You don't trust God. I've been seeking the Lord about it. God talks in clear sentences. Ooh-wee. This ain't going to preach today, but he talks in clear sentences. And he doesn't, the truth of it is, God only really tells you something one time. Because it echoes in your spirit, and then you hear it, then he may send somebody to confirm it. But what's dangerous is if you run around letting people tell you what God say and you don't know what he say. People gonna control your life. They gonna wreck you because you got to say you got to hear for yourself. He talks about whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ear will hear a voice behind you singing. This is the way. Is God clear? This is the way what? Walk in it. This is the way. Say that. This is the way. Walk in it. Now, he said the voice will be behind you. I just said that. Not somebody else telling you all the time. The voice is talking directly to you. Walk this way. Now, you got to sharpen your skills with this, because a lot of time when God is initially talking to you, it sounds like you. Right? Because he's talking to you through you. So you gotta be able to decipher what's God and what's you. But when he's telling you something, he's telling us clear directions about this is the way. Should I move over here? Most of the time, you already know. Should I do this? Should I marry this person? You already know. And people, you know, especially like marriage, if that person got money and they look good, somebody be talking about woo. Girl, you going to let somebody else get him? Well, why don't you take him? I don't feel no peace in my heart. You marry her. You marry him. I don't want him. If you got that much conviction about how good they are, why ain't you marry him? Why didn't you buy the house? Why didn't you buy the car? Why didn't you move? Why? Because when it comes down to intimate decisions involving you, if you're a believer, God is involved. Say, God is involved. I'm going to help somebody today. He's trying to help somebody today. God is involved. But you get messed up because you're running around looking for confirmations. Most of the time, the confirmation come as you in it to confirm that way. But it ain't like God starts you off that way. What does it start with? It starts off with him talking to you personally. He communicates with you personally. And if you're living vicariously through somebody else's relationship with God, you're not in good shape. You're not in good shape. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're not in good shape. You got to get in better shape. James 1:5. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures, then we're going to go some other places. Well, what if I don't know what to do? If any person, 1:5, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God. Why? Because wisdom is spiritual. Wisdom ain't really wiseness the way we process it. It only comes across as wise in this dimension because you got it from God. But wisdom is spiritual, with all thy getting what? Getting understanding. Wisdom is spiritual. He just tell you because it comes from God. He says if you lack wisdom, you should ask God because wisdom is spiritual. You should be talking to God, and he'll give generously to all without finding fault. It'll be given to you. You know what I'm saying? So when you're unsure, what should you do? You should ask God. When you're unsure, what should you do? You should ask the pastor. When you're unsure, you should call mom and them. Mom and them trying to keep daddy and them in control. Mom got her own stuff going on. Plus, you're 42. If you got a problem, who should you be asking? Now, he can talk to all them people, But he primarily, can you take a little teaching this morning? Because I ain't got no, you should ask him first. And then God will do what? He'll give you the answer. Psalms 119, 105. You know this by heart. Everybody, all these scriptures I'm quoting, everybody know them by heart, to be honest. He says, your word is a lamp for my feet. And then what? It's a light to my path. So light helps us navigate the twists and turns. If you don't have the light of God shining in an area, you shouldn't be moving that way. Unless he's the light in the darkness, you can follow the light there. But if you just, I'm just gonna take a chance. You're taking a huge risk if you don't know what God's saying to do. You're taking a huge, you know, risk by just doing it because, you know, I feel. What did God say? You know, feeling you led by God ain't the same thing as being led by God. Feeling, I just feel God said, that's not the same as, because God speaking complete sentences and he's not the author of confusion. Okay, so how would I know if I could possibly be in a place where God didn't say it? If I'm one with my wife and we both seeking God, when God give me direction, we shouldn't split. If we one with God and God is shining light in a direction, he won't keep the other person in the dark. Meaning that until both of us get the revelation of the light of what's supposed to happen, we don't make no big decision that's going to impact somebody else's life by default. Meaning you don't just get to do it because you're the husband. You don't get to do it because you're the wife. You don't get to do that. You don't get to be an individual when you're married. If you wanted to be an individual, you should have stayed single. But when you get married, it ain't like you can just do what you want to. You and Sister Baker, y'all won. If she in the dark in it, then you, even if you got the right answer, you pray that God give her or him the light so that he can help us all navigate this. But he'll get us out these twists and turns. Go to Exodus. We're still talking about trusting the forward leading God, because I believe God trying to lead us into a place, not only as a body, but as an individual. He's trying to lead some of us into some places. But in the beginning, a lot of times, Deacon Strange talked about it very clearly, that when you're comfortable, comfortability could be dangerous. Because you can start off in hardship in the area, and you believe in God, and as God work it, that place becomes very comfortable to you. But you want to stay there, but yet God is moved. and the challenge becomes: can I still trust God when everything is unclear? You got to get this. When everything is uncertain and unclear, because just because you don't know everything don't mean that's not God. Let's look at it. Exodus 14, because he's trying to lead us somewhere. God is always about, he never leads us backwards. Okay, so if I come to God and I find my life spiraling down or going backwards, what's happened? Somewhere I stopped trusting the forward leading God. God never leads you backwards. You better pay attention to what I'm saying. Sierra, he never leads you backwards. So like, watch this. I try to tell people, just because you was born at a place, don't make that your home. That's your delivery point. And the same stuff you was running from, that God, you was praying, somebody was praying for you, God got you out of that place. And here it is, God, the hardship, God is creating comfort, he created comfort, he created comfort, and then all of a sudden God get us in a place, and then we want to go back to where we come from, even though the demons and familiar spirits that was there when you left, they still there. See, sometimes, not sometimes, but spirits are geographical. What do you mean? You have principalities over an area. They stay in that area. All places in the country not the same. So God wanted to deliver Sister Keenan out. Where you from? Georgia? He pulled you out, Georgia. Right? Because sometimes you can break strongholds and things off your life by just changing location. They got to stay there. Now, and the only way you transport them is just like the children of Israel. He got them out of Egypt. He couldn't get Egypt out of them. So you can take Egypt with you if you want to keep Egypt. And what it's going to do, it'll birth in the place that you at. But really, the separation from the place separated you to a place that if you got that out of you, then it'll lose its grip over your life. So while you're talking about, I'm going back home, God got you out of that. Remember, the same stuff that was waiting on you when you got there the first time is the same stuff that's going to be waiting on you when you get back there. And this is why when God got the children of Israel out of, we're going to look at it in a second, when he gets them out of Egypt, when he delivers them out of Egypt, what does he do? He closes the Red Sea. When he got them out of Egypt, he closes the Red Sea. Why? Because sometimes God closes off the pathway for you to ever get back to where you go to. He closes that off so you can't go. Meaning sometimes deliverance is one way. You can't go back the same way God got you out of. You can't run back to them people. You got to let them find their own way. You got to pray them out. That's my family. Do you want to stay free or not? The same God that's talking to you and got you out, if they'll listen to him, he'll show them the way to get out. But last I check, you're not a deliverer. Jesus is the deliverer. And sometimes we haven't just a hard enough time just to stay and save our own self. And we're trying to deliver 15 other people and you ain't even fully delivered your own self. Say the forward leading God, trusting the forward leading God. We were talking, I waited 10 years though, but I was telling my wife this morning, I go back home, right? I'm not even gonna look at her, but somebody who knew somebody that I used to date, this person is buying their own stuff on drugs, right? But she was trying to tell me about one of her kin folks that I used to date. Have you seen them? I have not seen her. Matter of fact, we 25 years in marriage. I have not even thought about her in 25 years. Meaning it's a childhood romance, a crush that people try to suck you back into your old life with a crush. And God delivered you from a crush because that crush could not have ever been in your future. That crush would have pulled you down. But then you see them or they see you, and then y'all start romanticizing about what y'all used to do or whatever. And most of the time, it's all the stuff you did in sin, and they trying to stir that back up in you. No, some people, God got them away from you for a reason. Some people he delivered you out of, they wouldn't have been no good husband. They wouldn't have been no good wife. They wouldn't have never kept no job. He would have beat your head in. He was no good man because that's the kind of man he come from. So you don't start romanticizing. I don't know why I'm going this way. You don't start romanticizing about how good it was. Don't forget that God delivered you out of that. If you had to have God's help to get out, that means that you was in a bad kind of way. You couldn't have gotten out on your own cognitive. God had to step in that and deliver you. That's why you don't hang out with people that smoke weed if you know that was your vice. He's going to hook you into something that's stronger that you're going to have to be delivered by God again. You can't let people be all up in your face breathing like a dragon with that alcohol up on you, and you know you got... Don't look at nobody. I don't even know who said this. Say, give me 50 feet or 50 states over. I don't know who said it, but you don't come up on me like that because I'm trying to stay free from you. Street loyalty will wreck your marriage. That's my boy. Used to be. That's my home girl. Used to be. I can't let them go. I remember what they did for me. They only did it because God told them to do it. Tell them thank you and keep it moving. Shout, I'm only loyal to God and who he tells me to be. Meaning I don't owe you nothing. I don't owe you nothing. If I owe you money, you want the money back, I'll give you the money. Just leave me alone. Exodus 14. Some people ain't good for you when you come out. Don't make you better than them and make you different than them. We ain't the same no more. You think you better than me? I don't think I'm better than you. I'm a sinner saved by grace. You just a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm not better than you. I'm different than you. We going on two different paths. He told me to separate from amongst them and be separate. And I got to obey God because I'm trusting that he's trying to lead me somewhere. And if you can't be delivered from a person, that's your God. People should be relatively easy to get delivered from. But they not. They not. And I tried to tell somebody, man, can I just tell you the truth? I'm trying to tell somebody how to get out of old bad relationship. They ain't married. First of all, sir, it's going to be really hard to live saved and you fornicate. That's number one. And I said, it's going to be hard to get out that relationship as long as you are sleeping with her. You are one with her. And you're going to be in an argument and you're going to get in a fight, but you're not going to leave her until you stop sleeping with her. When you join yourself with a harlot, he said what? You become one with them. So you feel obligated to stay. Tell somebody, say, just let them go in all areas. Let them go in all. They not married. That's not your husband. That's not your wife. Just let them go. You said, people in these abusive relationships, getting their back brains beat in. You know why she won't leave him? What do you think? She's still sleeping with him. That's her husband. No, I'm trying to get out of this. I ain't waiting for you to get delivered. I'll come back when you get delivered. But until then, we're going to cut this off. Exodus 14. Moses said to the people, he told them, fear not. Because, you know, the Pharaoh chasing them. You're in Exodus 14. God done told the Pharaoh to go. Let him go. And he did. And then he started chasing him. He did let him go. But then he started looking at what he was losing. See, sometimes God will deliver you from a person and they'll pursue you because they're looking at what they're losing. They knew you was a good woman. They knew you was a good man. They knew this the whole time that they was doing all this craziness with you. And when the Lord told you to let them go, they start pursuing you. But the whole other time, they didn't even want you. But then you cleaned up your life, start pursuing God. Is this too much for some of y'all? When you start with cleaning up your life, then they wanted to pursue you. And here it is. The Pharaoh is pursuing them. And Moses told the people, he told them, he says, fear not, stand still. You're going to see what? The salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. He's going to work for some of you today too. Amen. I say he's going to work for some of you today. He's going to work for some of you today, not tomorrow. You don't wait for God to deliver you tomorrow when he's available to deliver you today. You don't be talking about, I'm going to get it right when I get to church, and God is dealing with you in the bathroom, in the bathtub. He's dealing with you right there on those jobs. You don't wait until you get in some safe place. What should you do? You respond to God right then and there. He says, watch this. He says, which he'll work for you, for these Egyptians. The Pharaoh is a type of the devil. Let's put it in perspective. The Egyptians, you can say, they're a type of demons. The Pharaoh is a type of the devil. The enemy is a type of demons, groups of them. And what they doing, they are whom you see today, you'll see them never again. He said, the Lord gonna fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Now, let me just read through it real quick. He says, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Egypt to do what? Go forward. Look around, tell somebody around you, say, go forward, go forward, go forward. You don't have no time to be going back. You don't have no time to be reminiscing. You don't be time to think about what you gave up. Just go forward. You ain't got to be worried about no club, but you still got a taste to drink or to smoke or to fornicate. Just tell them to say, go forward. Going forward going to be better for you. Them demons, them Egyptians, they looking for you. They trying to hunt you down. But your job is to do what? Go forward. And these Egyptians and Pharaoh, they pursuing these children of Israel because he wants to recapture them and he wants to enslave them. When the devil catch you again, he just going to enslave you again. I don't care how good he make it sound to you. I don't care what the people say. I don't care how they pump you up and tell you what you missing and what you did and what they did last night or last summer. When the devil catch you again, he going to do some nasty stuff to you. When he gets you away from God, he going to do some nasty stuff to you. He going to use the very thing that's pleasure to you, because the passing pleasures of life, sometimes you got to give up to get closer to God. And that's what Moses did. Moses said, I'd rather be out here with my brothers than to be in Pharaoh's kingdom eating these pleasures, dainted. This, you got to come out from amongst that stuff. And he tells him, he said, they're going to enslave them. They're going to put them back in bondage again. That's why the devil pursuing some of you. He's trying to put you back in bondage. Mm-hmm. Think about the times that you backslide. You backslid. What did you backslide into? The same stuff you came from. And it was harder to get free the next time than it was just to stay free. Meaning sometime when the Lord make you free, you better fight like you ain't got nothing left to stay free. You don't even entertain them. You don't entertain some people. You don't entertain some places you don't go, some places you don't visit. I ain't never coming over there. I ain't going to no barbecue with you. I ain't going no nothing with you. No, I can't come. Has anybody got saved over there? No. It's your family. This your family. I can't come over there. I can't come over there. I know it's his birthday. I can't come to that. You knew if you wanted me to come, you should have had it in a different venue. You know already what I'm about. You know what I ain't coming over there. You know I'm not coming over there. Shout, not better than, different than. You can roll your eyes all you want to. Not better than, different than. Not better than, different than. Not better than, different than. And that's why you cannot get free. Because you really need to be delivered from yourself. Sometimes you your own worst enemy. Sometimes you can't break your own stinking thinking because you love the world so much. You worse than Lot's wife. She didn't know no better because it wasn't written about her. But you have read that what was written about her and what it cost her, and you still want to go that way. Say, let it go three times. Let it go, let it go, let it. God is trying to lead you. If you want to be led, he'll lead you. If you want to be kept, he'll keep you. If you don't want to be kept, he won't keep you. So he says, tell the people to do what? Go forward. Now, Pharaoh is personally leading this charge. It's only a few people, really, you know, that personally, like the devil done personally visited on the earth. So like people use like the devil did it. No, it's not devils, it's demons. It's not devils, it's only one devil. It's demons. So the Pharaoh is a type of the devil. Moses speaks directly to him. Adam and Eve is in the garden, right? They in their purest form. The devil speaks, he didn't speak to him. He speaks to Eve directly. And he spoke to Jesus directly. Everybody else has been dealing with spirits that on assignment from him. And the truth of it is, you know, we are born of the spirit, but we not God. So he ain't personally attacking you because you ain't on Jesus' level. But he will send things who have studied you and they studied your mama. And that's why they know what your weaknesses are, because they know what your mama's weaknesses are. They know what your big mama's weaknesses are. They know what your daddy's weaknesses are. And they know all this stuff about you. Wherever good is, evil is always present. And so sometimes the devil be using these witches and you think they prophesying to you, but they not prophesying to you because their words are destructive on your life and for your life. Why? Because wherever good is, evil is there, and you got to know the difference between a witch and a warlock and a prophet. And some people are camouflaged or witches and they ain't no prophet. They camouflaging as a prophet, but they a witch. And that's why they tell you what they tell you, because they the ones, and they love grouping the ones been attacking your family the whole time. Meaning that you don't even got to listen to somebody just because they know your business. You better try the spirit by the spirit. You better make sure they really talking for you by the Holy Ghost and not trying to seduce you away from your covering or your pastor or your leader or the real prophet that he got assigned to you. Don't mean nothing because somebody can tell you something. And so Pharaoh gets them at this point. He gets them, Israel, on the seashore, and they feel trapped. And see, this is where we panic a lot of time, when we in situations where we feel trapped and there's no escape and we don't feel like nobody's coming to help you. If you'll lift up your eyes and look to the hills, God will show you the way out. If you'll open up your spirit, God will show you the way out. The path is right by you. Watch this. And the path was hidden. The path that they traveled was covered by water. And they standing right on the path. God does not create this path when Moses stretches out this rod. God does not create this path when Moses stretches out this rod. God does not create this path when Moses stretches out his rod. The path was always there. He was waiting to get them to a place where he could lead them across the very thing that the devil was using to block their progressive in him. He's leading some of you right by the path, and you up here trying to run from it rather than saying, God, show me the way. God, lead me the way. God, reveal the way. God, open up the path. God, move. No, you trying to run from it. And he gets some trapped between the sea and the enemies behind them. They have no soldiers. They coming out, they have nobody to intercede for them. I'm trying to make it from there to where we at right now. They have no soldiers, they have no weapons. What you think, what would you be doing if somebody was chasing you out your neighborhood, done broken your house and chasing you around your house, and you ain't got no knife, you ain't got no bat, you ain't got no gun, you're going to be just like them. You're going to feel like you trapped. And here they are feeling trapped. They got no armor to protect themselves. All the things that we got now, the stuff we won't even use, is readily available. And then they had the audacity, watch this, they start criticizing Moses. They're criticizing Moses, what they say. It would have, watch this, it would have been better to live a slave than to die in the wilderness. And that's what the devil is telling some of you right now. He's trying to make the life of sin seem like it's something that it's not, because he know what God got for you ahead. Say, God, lead me and show me the way. He's trying to get you to question God because of the difficulty. And you standing by a path that just not have been revealed to you yet. You somewhere close by your exit. I'm going to teach this whether you say amen or not. You running from it, but you close by it. Let me get back to the Bible. So I'll show you what I'm talking about. Because he says, it'd been better we live as a slave. This is how people cop out and let people just take over their neighborhoods. They call themselves minding their own business until they trapped. Until it's their daughter. As long as this craziness on the other side of the block, they don't really care. But he walking his way back to you. And so when we feel like we're in these predicaments, he says, God said, don't believe this lie. He said, everything the devil has been doing before God revealed his will to you, he says, remember where you come from. Don't get a taste from what you came out of. Don't remember Lot's wife, remember you. Remember them drugs was killing you. Remember that alcohol almost cost you your marriage. Remember that sex was killing you. That nightlife was killing you. All them babies that you was making that you weren't taking care of, now you're paying for them. Now they're taking all your money. He says, remember where you come from. Remember that anger, because some of you hold on to your anger like it's a badge, but really the revelation of anger is, the anger is the punishment that you do for yourself based off of somebody else's behavior. So when you being angry, all you're doing is punishing yourself for what somebody else did to you. You ain't hurting them at all, and they don't even care at all. Remember, the anger is killing you. Remember, the depression was trying to kill you. Remember, the clubs was killing you, taking all of your money, cost you jobs. Remember, I'm trying to take you back, because some of you think your life was so good from where you come from, but your life wasn't good. Remember the depression and the suicide attempts, because you call yourself claiming somebody else's husband or somebody else's wife, and you know they wasn't going to leave them for you. Remember how that almost made you have a nervous breakdown. Remember where you come from, and then you remember that it was God that got you out. It was God that delivered you. It was God that saved you. It was God that made them enemies be still and don't kill you. Why? Because he said, I'm going to watch over my word, even though you acting ignorant in the streets. That's because you don't know no better. God say, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the thoughts. I know what your expected end is supposed to be. So I'm going to guard my word over you. And now say, look at me now, look at me now. The devil can't kill you. And even if he do, if you die, die in the Lord. Don't feel like you don't have no option. Say, I got an option in God. And my option is, I'm not going to go back to the devil. Even if he's threatening to kill me, if I perish, let me perish. I'm going to die in the Lord. I'm going to wake up in his bosom. I'm going to run around heaven. But whatever it is, I ain't going back to your old stinky self. I'm not going back to where I come from. And anybody over there, you just stuck if you don't cross over. You stuck, and I ain't coming back to get you. You're going to stay over there until you come out. God never told me to go and deliver you. He told me to call you out of darkness the same way I got called out. Don't go back to get them. Call them out. If they won't respond to the Spirit of the living God into you and you coming out of you, they ain't going to respond to God at all. Say, trusting in the forward leading God. If people taking you back, cut them off. I don't know how simple to make it. You cut them off if they call themselves going to pull you back. And when Pharaoh drew near the people of Israel, they lifted up their eyes. They beheld the Egyptians were marching after them, and then they got in fear. They worried about, and the people of Israel cried out to God, to the Lord. They said to Moses, it's because of you that we have no graves out here in Egypt, that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness. What have you done to bring us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve these Egyptians, these devils. You ever been witness to a person and they weren't interested in the difference? Amen, oh my. And they'll defend where they at. They'll use excuses to justify behavior. They'll be talking about things that happened to them when they 11 and they 51. You done had 40 years because all, you done had at least 30 years to get delivered, because the person who's been in charge of your life from 18 up until that point has been you. It wasn't your mama or your daddy, and you ain't even been living with them. So you can't use your 11-year-old excuse to defend your 51-year-old behavior. You've had plenty enough time to get delivered if you wanted to be delivered. So he tells them, they say, leave us alone,
For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die out here. So what is this talk coming from? This talk is coming from a place of fear in them. How many know sometimes it ain't scary to follow God, but the uncertainty is what we deal with. Because this is a way that's new to some of you. You ain't never been this way. You don't know. And then it can be extremely tough if you ain't seen God do it for somebody else. Because now you're trying to figure it out. But fear is deadly. So I cringe when I hear a Christian talking about I deal with a spirit of fear. You being controlled by the devil. That's what they're saying. I'm being controlled by the devil. And that's why a lot of people ain't got their degrees. That's why they haven't moved forward in business. That's why they won't just come to the throne boldly and get everything because they know God is calling them. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you've seen it before, seen somebody else. When God is talking to you, tell somebody there is a way. You might be the first. So God is providing this way for them to escape. But they bound by fear. Watch this. And they willing to serve the devil like this. This is what blows me away. They know the situation is bad. They ain't want to do nothing about it. They know the situation is bad. Ain't willing to do nothing about it. They see health deteriorating. They see stuff happening. I mean, let's just put it from a health perspective. You know your body. You know something off. You won't even go to the doctor. I've seen people, brother, die of stuff. Their wife testified that the doctor said, had the brother just went to the doctor, he'd still been alive. He wouldn't even go to the doctor. Many of you won't go to the doctor because of what you fear the doctor might say. But once it's identified, you put the blood and you put the word on it. You put the blood of Jesus on it. You put the word of God on it. And then you watch what God do. But you don't just sit there and just, No. So he said, that's somebody's word right now. He said, you can live without the devil. You can live without the things that he's given to you. You can live without that man or that woman. The devil telling you you can't, but you can live without them. You can live without drugs. I've been trying. You can shout, you can live without them. You can live without alcohol. Stop compromising your body. You can live without a man. You can live without a woman. Your relationship with God is better than that. You can live without him. If you can live without it, then God will give it to you. But the reason why God won't give certain things to certain people, Jasmine, he is trying to communicate to you that that thing is a God to you. That thing is first place in your life, and I will not give you anything that's going to take you away from me. And you're begging God, and God has said, when it's not an idol to you, then I'll give it to you. But you can live without it. Shout, I can live without it 3 times. Put some trust in God, walk away from it, put some faith in God, and watch God do some incredible stuff in your life. He'll lead you forward. Sometimes we don't know how damaging stuff is until you get farther enough away from it. If you put your face right up on your phone or screen, you can't read the information. That's why a lot of times when a person needs deliverance, sometimes they ain't fully aware how bad they need it because they're too close to it. It takes somebody else to look at it and say, God can be much better to you than that. Prophesy to 3 people around you, say, God going to be much better to you than that. Just get away from it. Get out of it. Get away from it. And God gave Moses a word for the people. He tells Moses, he said, fear not, stand still, see the salvation. Fear not, stand still, see the salvation. He says, which he'll work for you today, the stuff you see, you'll see no more. He says that the devil, don't live in fear of him. Trust that he's leading you forward, that he's leading you out. Stop looking back. Do you know a lot of time people get trapped by their past because they keep looking back? They just, especially like if a person hurt them. Do you know some people ain't never apologizing to you? Shout, stop looking back. You too old to be looking back. They ain't apologizing all this time. They ain't gonna never apologize. And while you trapped out of your promised land looking for them to apologize, you could have been way full ahead. You'd have been and forgot about them people years ago. Shout, stop looking back. They trapped by their past. People in their past, things in their past, behaviors in their past, and all they gotta do is keep moving forward. God says, stop romanticizing about how good your life used to be. He said, remember, he got you out of jail. Remember, he delivered your marriage. Remember how you felt trapped in your own house and curtains closed and you all down all the time. But God said the devil is trying to convince some of you to go back. Don't go back. Shout that three times. Don't go back. He's trying to convince some of you to stay in places where the enemy is abusing you. But the Lord says, I've given you a way of escape. Walk therein. I've given you a way of escape. Walk therein. Don't let people convince you to stay when I'm telling you to go. I've given you a way. Tell somebody, say, walk therein. It's uncertain, but you start walking in it. It can be difficult. It can be scary, but what should you do? You should walk therein. You might be walking by yourself in the beginning, but you start walking in it. You're not really walking. The Lord will whisper behind you to keep going. You on the right track. Keep going. You on the right track. Keep pressing. You on the right track. Shout three times. Walk therein. Walk therein. Your life does not have to look like that until you die. The devil had almost convinced them people, why you bring us out here? Didn't they not have graves in Egypt? Yeah, but the wilderness is the middle ground between the devil's land and the promised land. The wilderness is the spot between you getting away from the devil and breaking into your purpose and your promise. The wilderness is the spot where God is designed for you to kill off everything because he don't want you to transport it into your promised land. Say, kill it in the wilderness. Kill it in the wilderness. Ain't nobody out there but you and God and the sword of the spirit. Kill it in the wilderness where you ain't got to explain it to people and people can't talk you down and people can't tell you, child, if it was me, it's not you. Shout, kill it in the wilderness. The wilderness is the spot between you and your recovery, the spot between you and your destiny, the spot between you and your future, the spot between you and your healing. Shout, kill it in the wilderness. But no, we'll be trying to bring it along with us. We'll be questioning God the whole way. But what we're going to do, we're going to trust in the forward leading God. Whatever he's telling you to leave behind, leave it behind. Whoever he telling you to leave behind, leave him behind. I'm trying to get to my promised land. How about you? So what should we be doing? We trust God when it's uncertain. Don't worry about facts. You're a person of faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith changes facts. It is a fact. Something is a fact. You ain't got to deny. He ain't got to deny what's really going on. But if you can spot it and name it, then you can put faith on it. You can use the God kind of faith to change it. Anybody needs some impossible stuff to happen? Because I'm going to tell you, some of you, if you ever go back, he taking your mind again. No, they let them call on Jesus. Because this is your warning. This is your warning, because you done came a long way. God done brought you, and clearly you know everything that's happened up until this point in your life that's good, you know that's God. But if he ever gets you back there, you only able to handle the pressure you under now because of the Holy Ghost. If you ever go back up under that pressure, he gonna snap you. Say, keep moving forward. Let the Lord lead you. Say, keep moving forward. Let the Lord lead you. Your peace is ahead of you. Keep moving forward. Your joy is before you. Keep moving forward. Your emotional healing is before you. Keep moving forward. Don't look back. Don't look back. There are some people you got to, because you know how you felt about them, you can't even get close enough to them to let them apologize. You got to, what do you got to do? Keep moving forward. It's a, shall keep moving forward. Why? Trust in the Lord. With what? All your little heart. Do what? Lean not. Should we trust God or our own understanding? If I had to lean to my own understanding, I'm not even here. If I had been led by my own leanings and my own understanding, I would have got out of the military a long time ago. I would have got out the first enlistment. Had nothing to do with money. Had nothing to do with money. I thought it did. I thought it did. Maybe even my wife thought it did. We had children. We were young. And I thought I was staying because it was a job. And God let me think that for a long time. So I stayed in, but what he was doing is that he was PCSing me around the globe to sit up under impartation. I have no idea. I didn't know, but I knew, thinking back, he was trying to tell me. But I didn't know I'm going to be some preacher. And he has to move me around the planet to receive impartation from people that I didn't even know this was happening. I remember Pastor Bradley came to my house. Do you remember that? He only came one time. He came one time because God, he knew he was leaving, and God had showed him that a young man with three kids was coming. And he could sense the calling, as a young man, he could sense the calling of God on my life. I ain't living a nickel to a dime. I'm just trying to figure the salvation thing out. But he's sensing the calling. And he came over to the house and cooked all his food for him and ate, and he talked. And he got up and he left. And he never started prophesying to me about what I was going to be. Because when you do that and a person ain't ready, they'll start trying to produce fruit outside of their time and the devil will kill him. He walks away. It wasn't 2 months later that Davis, Pastor, Minister Davis shows up. He's the same age. He has a calling on his life. He has three children, and it was him. Because from a spiritual perspective, he was more mature than me. So he was moving me around, and people were sensing it. They're sensing the calling, and I still, in my mind, want to get out the military. Why? The devil is putting a taste in me to go back to Egypt, my hometown. You better follow me. He's trying to get me to go back to Egypt. which is going to alter the whole course, not only for our life spiritually, but it's going to alter our marriage. So God, he keeps moving me. And then he moves me to Louisiana, and they could sense it. But again, it's undeveloped. It's raw. Why am I keep going to this? I feel like God is trying to say, some of you, you can sense the calling on your life, but you raw. Just stay undercover. Just stay undercover. Ain't nobody trying to hold you back. We might be trying to help you from the devil attacking you and trying to assassinate your gift before it's developed. Because once you step to another level and you start proclaiming who you are, he attacks you at your, the devil attacks you at your proclamation, not where you really at. A lot of pastors, a lot of apostles would be under, they would be under less pressure if they would give up their apostleship and just come back down to where they really at as a pastor. Some of these bishops, they would be better off if they would give up their bishopric, because he's attacking them at the bishopric level, and come on back down here where they could handle the stuff that's really assigned to them, and their lives would be better, their marriage would be better, their churches would be better, people around them would be better. So they going through all kind of warfare because you made this big proclamation about who you are as some prophet, and all you have to do is come down here and be some sister or be some brother and be happy and prophesy when he tell you to do it. But he's having people impart into me to the point where I can get to a place of my own understanding, and I could hear God talking for myself and know that this is what you called to do. See, when God is trying to get you to a different place, I don't know why I'm digressing, but I think God is going to wrap it up. When he's trying to get you to a place, you cannot move out based upon somebody else's call. Moses had to lead the people based off of what he's hearing God tell him to do. He was not going to be efficient. He was not going to be effective listening to the people behind him tell him to go forward. No, God told Moses, get the people going forward. Get the people moving forward. And that's what God is saying to some to you. Trust him to move you forward. He is the forward leading God. He's the forward leading God. He's always trying to do it. Can you take 2 minutes? Actually, my time is up. Because if I go anymore, all your grain is going to be cold. Come on, stand to your feet. God's trying to get you out. God's trying to get you forward. He's trying to help us to move forward. He's trying to get you to a place, a prominence, a breakthrough of your healing. And give him a good praise. Don't wait for nobody else. He's trying to get you to trust his leading you. He is the leader. As a believer, you don't want to be in control of your life. Why would you want to be in control of your life? And you got the Holy Ghost in you, who knows everything. He knows how it's going to work out. And I can just hear him plain as day. Don't look at nobody. Say, don't get ahead of God. Don't get ahead of him. He's trying to lead you out, and do not look back. Don't romanticize about how good your life was. It wasn't good. Don't romanticize about how good that relationship was. It's not good. And he's trying to get you out. What should you do? You should let him get you out. You should trust the fact. You know, people act like they can't live without the military. The military ain't nothing but a job. It's a means to the end. And sometimes things come to an end, whether it be through separation or retirement or medical. It don't make no difference. But trust God that he's leading you forward. That he's trying to unlock something in your destiny, in your future. Sometimes relationships end, whether it's through divorce or whether it's through death, God still has a future ahead of you. Because some of you, you stuck where grandmama died. You stuck where your mama died. You stuck where your daddy died. And God is saying, he said, I got them. They okay. You just trust me to lead you forward. Shout, lead me on, God. Lead me on. Don't say it if you don't mean it. Some of you still crying over the person that left you. The person that divorced you. The longer you carry them in your spirit, you know what you're doing? You're blocking God from sending you another mate. And he's clearly told you to purge them from your life. And you up here thinking that we're going to get back together. God going to put it together. No, God say, move forward. Shout it forward three times. Move forward, move forward. No, you're not getting back together. You're not getting back together. You're going to move forward. And the Lord is going to do something new in your life. He's going to do something incredible in your life. As soon as you say, God, I'm ready to release it, I surrender all. Shout that, I surrender all. Shout, I surrender all. I don't understand it, but I surrender all. I don't even like it, but I trust you. I surrender all. And when you make up your mind that you're going to surrender to God, man, God comes in like a rushing mighty wind, sis. God comes through to give you what he planned for your life. I'm thoroughly convinced that a lot of stuff we be trying to believe God to keep, God never gave it to us. And when he tells us to give it up, we struggle to give it up. But if you'll trust that he is leading you forward, I tell you today, you're going to be all right. Your life going to be better. Your heart going to heal. Mentally, you're going to be in a better place. Your emotions ain't going to be all up and down every day, because God is leading you to a better place. Father God, as the under-shepherd of this house, I ask right now, God, for a divine separation. Just as you would separate the wheat from the chaff, make separations and make differential moves in their life where they can spot the things that you've pried from our lives. Whether it be people, places, jobs, whatever, let there be a distinct difference, God, of, through the separation of what you've given them and what you're moving them away from. I pray right now, God, for a divine leading, for divine counsel to be released from heaven to minister to souls and minister to minds that are still wrestling with the things that they're facing. Let them trust you that you are the God who sees before, that you are Elrod, you are the God who sees, and that you know exactly what they need, what we need in our life. Every stronghold, I separate it from you now. Everything that's got you tied up and knitted up and bound up, lift your hands up high. Let it pop off of you as you lift up your hands towards heaven. May the chains from the enemy pop from you. May they pop in the spirit, that you'll feel the freedom of the spirit of the living God, that you will know that this is the Lord's doing in your life. And Father God, I pray for the deliverance of souls. But really, I hear soul ties, even soul ties that's affecting relationships and marriages. Let the soul ties be snatched away and broken from people's lives in the name of Jesus. Let there be no barriers in marriages, no barriers in their hearts. Let them feel a total release in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. If you need prayer, the altar is called. It's open. We're going to be real brief. All the leaders come today. All the leaders come today. If you want somebody to pray for you, you got something specific that I did not talk about, you can come now. 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 You can come now.